on today's program with Pastor Nate Gallagher.
What I mean is that if we don't guard what goes in, we will start acting and looking like the world that goes on around us. As Jesus says, our bodies will be filled with darkness just like the world. We guard what goes in so that we can stay set apart.
Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. As believers, it's very clear that we are called to look different than this world. Join Pastor Nate as we discuss what a Christian should look like in this series we've called Attire.
And we're beginning a brand new series. Who's excited? That we've called Attire. And we're learning real simply what it looks like to be a Christian. How should our lives look if we've placed faith in Jesus Christ? And I think it's important that we discuss this because a lot of people don't know. There's a lot of misconceptions and really wrong identities of what it looks like to be a Christian. I think when we hear like church, we've got all these flashes in our mind. Maybe it's from like the TV or the person that we knew that was kind of odd, that was claimed to be Christian. And so what does it really look like to follow Jesus? What does it really look like? We've had an encounter with Jesus. We've believed on him. And then what does that look like daily in our lives? And so this goal in this series is to talk about what our lives should look like. If you've placed faith in Jesus, how can we recognize that? How can we identify it? At what we should put on as Christians and what needs to be removed. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says this, and this is going to be kind of like our home verse for a lot of this series, and it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day of the Lord, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Another translation says, "Clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." The Apostle Paul, the author of this portion of Scripture, he shows us the importance of removing things from our lives, but not just getting rid of things, also putting things on to be better and more effective as we follow after Jesus. And in part one of the series, we're going to talk about what we allow into our lives and how that affects the way God can use our lives. What we allow in and how that affects how God uses. Sort of the outline for this series is we're going to start with our head and we're going to work our way down to our feet and talk about what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And so this first part, we're going to talk about what goes in. What do we allow to affect our life? And we're really going to focus our attention kind of on verse 12 from this text in Romans, where it says, "Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." I told you, Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking. We're going to be in verse 34. Luke chapter 11, verse 34. Jesus is talking about what it means to follow Jesus and some of the things that our life should look like. And he says this, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body will also be full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." And then he says like the most redundant sentence ever. He says, "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light." Like, oh, really? He says, "If your whole body is full of light, then your whole body will be full of light." Like, wow, that's impressive. And then he says, "As when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." That's kind of what we're going to talk about. I've titled this message this morning, or tonight, I keep doing that, tonight, "Dress to Impress." Dress to impress. You heard that before? You heard the saying like, dress for the job that you want to have, not the job you currently have? You heard that before? Some of us. dress to impress. The idea is to present yourself in such a way that really represents who you are on the inside. Dress in such a way, present yourself in such a way that it is a good representation of who you are. Jesus is speaking very directly, and he tells us that what we let into our lives affects who we are. What we allow in affects how we behave, both for good and for bad. If we put bad in, Jesus says, our whole body will be filled with darkness. So in effect, we need to make sure what we allow into our lives is causing us to be who God wants us to be. What are the things we allow in? But we must, and so we got to make sure we're letting light in, he says. When you're looking at light, the eye is the lamp of the body. When you're looking towards light, light will inhabit your body and you will represent light. But he says, before we do that, we must cast off the works of darkness. In other words, get rid of things that are keeping us from what God wants us to be. And we do that by watching what we allow into our hearts. He's not speaking like necessarily directly about just what we see, but how what we see affects who we are. Because it's possible to see something, but not really see it. You know what I'm saying? It's also possible to hear something and not really hear it. You know, your parents, they're like, are you listening? You're like, yeah, I'm listening. I heard words coming out of your mouth. What they said, I have no idea what you were talking about. But I heard words. Like, it's possible to hear something, but not really hear something. And so Jesus is telling us that what you hear, make sure it affects you in a positive way. Make sure what you see, it affects you in a positive way. All of these things, Jesus says that the lamp of the body is the eye, and we either allow light or darkness into our lives based upon what we see. Now, this is real obvious. We have five senses that allow things to get into our lives, right? We have touch, we have taste, we have smell, we have sight, we have sound. Those are the five senses. That's how we get things into our brain and into our lives. And based upon what we allow into our lives will affect who we will be on the outside. What you let in will show itself on the outside. And so because of that, my first thought tonight is guard what goes in. Guard, because what goes in affects who we are on the outside, we need to make sure we guard what goes in. We live in a culture today that bombards us with what we should watch, what we should listen to, what we should eat, what we should drink, all of these things with no regards to how it affects who we are or who God wants us to be. No thought to that. This is what you should do. This is where you should go. This is how you should behave. With little to no regard to how that actually affects your soul, how it actually affects your relationship with God, how it actually affects your future. We really don't like talking about that. We like the present. We like right now. We like because it feels good, because it tastes good. This is what I want. Jesus teaches us to look to our future. How is this decision going to affect you down the line? And so Jesus makes it clear that it does affect who we are, so we need to be careful with it. So with that, what should we guard against? First thought, we should guard against, we need to watch what we watch. We should, real simple, this is like real elementary stuff, we got to watch what we watch. We need to guard what goes in through our eyes. Whether it's a movie or something on the internet, we need to watch what we watch. We need to make sure that we are careful. And make sure that we don't allow just anything and everything to go into our brains. Not only what we watch, but also what we look at and how we look at those things. Look what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her," there's the catch. Not just look, like I can't ever look at a girl ever again, or else I'm in sin. No. He says to look, and then he says how you look. He says with lust, he says you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. He says if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Hey-o, that'll wake you up, right? Like if you're sleeping in Jesus' sermon, you're like, did he say what? He says, cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Hey, not only watch what you watch, but how you watch it. There's a huge difference. You can see something and not really see it, or you can see something and really see something. And so Jesus, he warns us not to lust with our eyes. What we look at, who we look at, and primarily how we look at them. Jesus warns us to guard what we see. And if what we look at causes us to sin, Jesus says we need to remove it from our lives. That's why he says to pluck out your eye. He says not physically go and cut your eye out, but rather remove the thing that's causing you to sin. If what you're looking at is causing you to end up in a place of sin, doing something you shouldn't be doing, desiring something you shouldn't be desiring, acting a way that you shouldn't be acting, if what you're looking at affects that, he says you need to remove that from your life. Some of that means we need to delete Instagram. Some of that means we need to get off Snapchat for a little while. Maybe for some of us, I just need to go back to like a flip phone where I have to like press 537 times to get the letter that I want to send the text message. Anybody remember that? Hey, yo. Some of us, we've got to do those things. Jesus says, if this is leading you down something that's causing you to sin, you need to remove it. And what he's saying is watch what you watch and watch how you watch it. That's the key. Watch how you watch it. And we should question ourselves, what are we looking at? Are the things we watch making it easier for us to sin or easier for us to walk with God? As Christians, we are to guard what goes in through our eyes because it's through what we see that plants desires in our hearts to do things that don't please God. Through what we see. So we got to watch what we watch. Secondly, we got to listen carefully. Listen carefully, not just to the message, although that is obvious. Listen carefully. We need to not only watch what we watch, but we need to be careful what we listen to. The music we listen to, the conversations we allow to go on around us, the things we allow to be said to us or about us. I think that's an important one. The things that we allow to be said to us or about us. Sometimes we let people say anything or whatever about us and we derive our identity from that. And we need to listen carefully. Say, what you've said about me is not who I am. I'm not going to listen to those ideas and those thoughts. I'm going to listen carefully because what we allow to be said or sung around us will affect the way we think. Listen, if the music we listen to treats people a certain way or imagines life a certain way, it will affect the way we view people and how we imagine life. If this is the way that the world sings about and this is how they think life should go, pretty soon we're going to say, well, I guess that is how life should go. And it'll affect our goals, our ambitions, our desires. If the people around you are negative and constantly talking bad about people, that is how you will behave. If you listen to culture and the world for your value and significance, you will buy into something you're not. So easily. If the world is giving your identity, pretty soon you will believe that that is who you are. Because what we listen to affects the way we think, so we got to listen carefully. We got to say, just because you've said that I'm like that, that's not who I am. Jesus says that I'm a new creation in him. I don't have to be defined by what you think about me or what the world says my expectations or all my limit is. God's got plans for me. So we got to make sure we listen carefully. We don't allow what the world says about us to affect who we are. What you put in through your ears will affect how you think. So listen carefully. Third thing, we got to taste responsibly. Taste responsibly. We need to guard against what we put into our bodies physically. And this is one of those, because of our culture today, I feel like we have to address this subject. I was reading this week that according to studies, underage drinking begins at around 13 years old. 13. And 52%, listen to this, 52% of teenagers admit to drink. 52% would admit, like, oh yeah, I drink. Now, I'm sure a lot of them just brag to sort of get some attention, like, oh yeah, I drink, like root beer anyways, but... This is the reality in our culture. 52% of people claim to drink, underage drinking. And drugs is the same. It's around 12 to 13 that kids begin to think about and experiment with drugs. It's middle school. It's a reality in our culture. And listen, it affects you physically because your body isn't done developing till around 25. So if you mess with it underage, you're going to limit your development just physically as your body grows. But also it affects you spiritually. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this, "Do not be drunk with wine or anything else, not just wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Don't be drunk, rather be filled. Basically, he says, if you're filled with substance, you can't be filled with the Spirit. God can't work in your life and work through your life as he desires for you to work if you filled your life with some sort of substance. And that's why he said back in Romans chapter 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Because revelry, this idea is literally means drinking parties. You thought that was a new thing? Paul's writing about it. He says, don't walk in like solo cup drinking parties, is what he's saying. Revelry and drunkenness is what we put in through our mouth. Lewdness and lust is our eyes. Strife and envy is our contention with people, and confrontation often starts from what we hear. So we must guard what goes in. Because listen, if we don't guard what goes in, we will begin to acclimate to the culture around us. What I mean is that if we don't guard what goes in, we will start acting and looking like the world that goes on around us. As Jesus says, our bodies will be filled with darkness, just like the world. We guard what goes in so that we can stay set apart. What happens is so often as Christians begin to acclimate. What I mean by that, they begin to adjust. They begin to, because all of a sudden they had really big convictions about this, and then they begin to acclimate. They begin, I guess that's not a big deal. Like what's one song? What's one album? We begin to acclimate. That movie's not so bad. It had great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I gotta see it. And then pretty soon we acclimate. Pretty soon we look exactly like the world around us. So we gotta guard what goes in so we can stay set apart. As soon as we stop guarding what we allow into our lives, we will begin to acclimate to our surroundings. And as soon as we acclimate, we lose our influence. So guard what goes in. Second thought, we must put in what produces. We've got to guard what goes in, and because of that, we need to make sure that what goes in produces something. We need to put in things in our life that produces. Paul told us back in that text in Romans to put on the armor of light. Jesus said to make sure that our eye is good so our body will be filled with light. In other words, we need to make sure that our lives are being filled with the things that enhance who God has called us to be. I'm going to say that again. We need to make sure that our lives are being filled with the things that enhance who God has called us to be. What's our calling? Jesus said back in Matthew's gospel that we are called to be the light of the world. If you've placed faith in Jesus, if you've come to a point where you're like, I recognize my sinfulness, I can't do this on my own, I fall short, God is a holy God, and I am a sinful person, I can never make it, so I need Jesus. You've placed faith in him. He's changed your life, changed your identity, given you new purpose. You are now called to be the light of the world. In other words, we are to represent Christ, but how can we be the light of the world unless we're putting things in our lives that allow us to be that light? That's what he says, right? He says, be careful what you look at. Your eyes will determine whether you're filled with darkness or whether you're filled with light. So if your body's filled with darkness, how can you be the light of the world? You can't be. So what we should do is to make sure that our body is full of light. Now, how do we do that? The word that Jesus uses for good, when he says to make sure that our eye is good, it has two ideas, and I think it's really applicable for us. One, this idea of good, it literally could be translated as generous. This word good, it literally could be translated as generous, meaning we're thinking of other people. That's the idea of generosity, right? Everybody likes a generous person. Like, oh, I'll pick up the tab today. You're like, for real? Like, well, I want guacamole then, please. Like, I know it's extra, but you're buying. Everybody likes a generous person. This idea is that we're not consumed with ourselves. The problem with all the things that we have to guard against is that they are all motivated by self. What I want to look at, what I want to listen to, what I want to be a part of. All of these things, it's motivated by our own wants and desires. And in order for us to be used as God wants to use us, we need to have a motivation that's focused on others. Let's say, I'm not in it for me. I'm not doing this because it feels good for me, or because I'm going to fit in, or because I'm going to be cooler. Whatever it is, I'm going to say, I'm going to do this because it's going to benefit other people. And as soon as we become others-minded, we're not focused on ourselves, we become generous, it's going to change the way we behave. All of a sudden, we're going to have different motivation. We're going to listen differently. We're going to talk differently. We're going to look at things differently. We got to be generous. And Jesus, make sure that your eye is generous. Most of our eyes, we want. We see something and we want it. Jesus says, make sure your eyes are generous. When you look around, how can you give? How can you stop getting and how can you start giving? Make sure that your eye is generous. It also carries the idea, the second thought, of being single-minded. Single-minded, this word that Jesus says, make sure that your eye is good. It could also be translated single-minded. Specifically, it means to be committed to God and God alone. It is to have a desire above all else to please God. That what you look at is deep down a desire to please God above all else. It is to look beyond what we feel and desire and to be focused on what God wants for us. This is something we rarely do, right? When was the last time we were going to do something and we thought, I wonder how God feels about this? It's probably it's like you get past the aux cord and you're like putting on the song and you're like, I wonder what God feels about this. Like you're like, you got to watch this YouTube video. I wonder what God feels. Like, how often do we think those thoughts? It's probably pretty rare. And I'm saying this from experience. Like, it's very rare that when I pull up Spotify, yes, I use Spotify, not Apple Music. Don't judge me. Anyways, when I pull it up, I rarely think, I wonder what God thinks of this. It's a reality. But this is something we should begin to think about. This idea of good, it means single-minded. How does this please God? How does God feel about this? How often do we ask that when we get these desires for God? And when we begin to get these desires, all of a sudden the way we will behave will change. But we get these desires for God and for other people by the time we spend in His Word, through worship, and through connection with other believers. How do we get this desire? It's by spending time in God's Word, it's by worshiping Him, and it's by being in connection with other believers. Because pretty soon, as you spend time with God and you know what God's like, you'll know what He likes and what He doesn't like. If you don't know God at all, how can you assume what He likes and what He doesn't like for your life? If you've spent no time with Him, how can you make a statement and say, who cares if I watch this? Who cares if I listen to this? Who cares if I go here? Because you don't know God. You don't know how He acts. You don't know how He thinks. But by spending time in His Word, it will begin to refocus how we think about God and go, okay, I know God, and I know that this is pleasing to Him, and I know that this isn't. We spend time in worship because we recognize God is powerful. This is who He is. We're in His presence. And when you're in His presence, you don't want to do anything against Him. When we're singing, "You made a way," you're like, man, this is it. This is what it's about. I don't want to leave this place. I don't want to go somewhere else because this is where I found it. Well, when we're in God's presence, we've arrived. We don't want anything to change. Have you ever been in that situation where, like, I pray that this song never ends. I pray that this moment never ends because I'm in the presence of God. I found why I exist. And when you're in the presence of God, you don't want to go and do things that don't please God. You do it through worship and then through connection with other believers. Because when you see the way other believers behave, you say, hey, that's how I want to behave. I want to be more like this person. They encourage us. They grow us in our relationship with God. So in order for us to have these desires, we need to make sure that we are spending time in God's Word, that we're spending time in worship, and we're spending time with other believers. When we put the right things in our lives will produce the right things. When we're focused on God and other people, and we get our eyes and our ears and our thoughts off us, we can begin to be used by God. And our bodies will be full of light so we can be the light of the world. But listen, when we acclimate to the culture and we start behaving like the world around us, we can't be the people that God wants us to be and be used as He wants to use us.
And we sing glory.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you and your relationship with Christ. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Nate, check him out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow him on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.